Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's begin to conclude what we have been discussing for a few weeks now on the matter of creating the opportunities for prosperity. And I would like to just take a few minutes to review most of the things that we said. Number one, we established that the opportunity for prosperity is first created in the heart, and that from the heart of man flows forth the issues of life. That is, anything that can be settled in a man's heart will always become manifested outwardly. I explained that life does not respond to your desires, but it responds first to your expectations. That is, there's a difference between your desires and your expectations. Your desires are those things that you want. Your expectations are those things that you are preparing for, that your heart is persuaded they will happen. You might like them, you might not like them. That's besides the point. For example, Abraham had an expectation that he would die childless. So he said to God, "What do you give me, seeing that I go childless?" And I explained that there are forces that come out of our hearts to create the thing that we have inside outwardly. That is, we talk about the word aura. Aura is something, it's invisible, but it's a force about somebody that affects the things around him, either positively or negatively, depending upon what is inside his heart. That's why Solomon taught us, he said, "Guard your heart above all that is guarded with all diligence." He said, "For from it flows forth the issues of life." What is inside your heart, we said, would most certainly come out for you in life. Therefore, we said the opportunities for prosperity must first be created inside the heart and not just for us to be laboring outwardly. We said we must establish in our hearts that God is God and there is none else, that if wherever you are in life, if God decides that he's going to bless you, you will most certainly be blessed. Now, we establish all of these things, that once we recognize those issues and we put it in our heart that I can do well anywhere, I'm not just a blessed man, I've been sent to be a blessing to my society, to my community, then the opportunity for prosperity has been created first in our hearts, and then outwardly it will begin to manifest. Towards the end, I began to explain that the number of things that we are going to use to create the opportunities. Number one, I established the fact that God has given everybody a gift, a grace that is inside you that makes the doing of something easy for you. The reason is because before you were born, God knew there would be a problem, and he prepared a blueprint that you are supposed to fit into in solving problems for life. And in that blueprint, he put a gift inside you so that once you come to the earth and you step into your proper place, you will discover that certain things come out of you easily. For example, some people they find teaching very easy. Some find designing things very easy. Others find singing very easy. Others find administration very easy. We read from Romans chapter 12 that it's because there is a grace that has been given to each person. Paul now commanded that we should exercise those gifts accordingly, and I established that if we do that, then we are using that to create the opportunity for prosperity, not only for ourselves, but first and foremost for the society that around us. We established that it's important that we seek the good of the land, that we're not just seeking our own good, because otherwise we'll be spiritual parasites, but we are seeking the good of the land. But the Bible says clearly, "Give and it shall be given unto you." If you are seeking the good of the land, you will discover that good will be poured back into you. Say, "Good measure pressed down, shaking together, shall men pour into your bosom." That is, the same measure with which you go out to be a blessing is the same measure with which God will return favor and blessing towards you. Now, that is, once you have used your gifts to seek the good of other people, you will discover that material prosperity will be returned to you as a person. Two other things I said we must use in creating the opportunity for prosperity. I said, number two, your resources, your money. And then number three, your diligence. Now, I'll talk about those other two things today. Now, to conclude that matter, I'd like to read from the book of Psalm 126. Now, from verse 4, I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert." Please get the point here. Before I read the whole thing, let me just explain it. The issue here was that God was returning people from captivity into Jerusalem. Like he said in verse 1, he said, "When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, were like those who dream." That is, the people were in captivity. They had gone into problems. Let's take the application of it now. They had been in problems for a long period in their life. They had been under the judgment of God, and God was now bringing them back into their own land. When they go back to the land, they discovered that things were not exactly the way they are supposed to be. Problems were there, jobs were not available, the land was not productive, so they began to pray. They said to God, "Restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert." That is, we are in a desert land, we need God to pour forth water into the desert land to restore the fortunes of the land, he was saying. Then from verse 5, God began to answer. He said, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. He said, they weep as they go to plant their seed, and they sing as they return with the harvest. Now, this is the point I want us to get. People were asking God, do something for us. And God said, I have heard your cries. I have plans to bless you. But I want you to do something for me. In the land that you said I should restore, I want you to go and sow in that land. I want to go and plant into that land. Please get this point. The people were saying that this is like a desert place. So they went to God to pray that God restore our fortunes. What they expected was that rain will start falling first, and then they will start planting. But God said the order is the order of faith. That if you have prayed and you believe that I have answered you, then the first thing you do is to put your seed into the ground. And once you have put your seed into that ground, I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. Please, this is important we understand. That God, once we have prayed for a country like ours, God is saying, all right, I'm now set to bless. Like we've been teaching, that I now depend on you to cooperate with me so that together we can create the opportunity for prosperity. You have gone now to use your gifts. I've been discussing. Now, I want to explain the issue of putting in your finances into the environment. I remember then, and for me, it was very, very instructive. I was teaching a series titled Spiritual Economics. That was the first time I expounded on these scriptures. And then I taught people then that, you see, that's when Professor Charles Soludo said to the banks in Nigeria that you must be capitalized to the tune of 25 billion naira. Okay? And I explained that, and if Nigerians want them to survive, that this is God's order. Each person must get up and go and invest in those banks. Now, it wasn't because, now, you know, the Nigerian stock market did so well over the years and all of that, but that was not the issue then. In fact, I preaching didn't know anything about stocks. I just said, it is vital to us Nigerians that the banks don't collapse, that we develop as an economy, and vibrant banks are important for the development of the economy. Therefore, I preached to my people. I said, everybody, go out there and go and buy those stocks that are going to be released. In fact, the first time I said it, I didn't know the banks were planning to come and raise money. But of course, as soon as they came out, I encouraged people to go out and go and invest money. My reason was not so that you can make money. You see, the interesting thing about it, like I've said, my people have a saying. They say, if you see an adult running in the afternoon, it's either he's chasing something or something is chasing him. So two people are doing the same thing. They are doing for two exactly opposite reasons. Now, so you see, for example, now people have looked at it and say, Nigerian stock market is very good to make quick money. This is how to make quick money in the stock market. But let me tell you something. If you come out to make quick money in the stock market, eventually you will lose all your money. Now, take that one from me as an instruction from God. You can never go out to make quick money from anything. Do you get my point? If you succeed in making quick money, you will eventually lose all the money that you made quickly. You will do another investment which you think will become very quick, and then you will lose the investment again. I remember the other day we were watching them. There was a woman on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm sure a lot of us watched it. And this woman had, you know, if you know the way they play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you keep on playing. You come to a guaranteed level. This woman had crossed a guaranteed level of 250,000 naira. And then she was supposed to answer one question and go from 2 million. She had won 2 million naira, but that's not guaranteed. The guaranteed is 250,000. So if she answered the question correctly, she'll move up to 5 million naira. And if she answered the question wrongly, she will drop down to 250,000 naira. But she had the chance of walking away with 2 million naira. And the talk was all over town because the woman considered, they asked her a question, she did not know the answer. She said she would go with her instinct. She was not sure what the answer was, but that she would go with her instinct, and then she was hoping to win 5 million. But she had the risk. She had only a chance, 1 in 4, because she was guessing, of getting the 5 million, or a 3 in 4 chance of going down to 250,000 naira. And then, of course, she missed it because she was guessing this time around. And she lost the 2 million naira and went on with 250,000 naira. I know many of you listening to me, you probably watched that episode. Now, my wife and I were discussing later on how could she be so stupid. I said, no, she's not a stupid woman. Just look at the woman. She looks well-to-do. She looks wealthy. She looks comfortable. She's not a small girl. She's not stupid. If she can come up to 2 million naira, she's not a stupid person. So why did she make that decision? Is that she couldn't understand the principle of statistics? I said, that's not the problem. The problem, the reality, take it from me. I considered it. That's how I am. You know, spiritually, you think about these things. I considered it, and I said this was the issue. She used her instinct a lot of times to get to that 2 million. She did not get there purely because of knowledge. Because if you had the understanding that allowed you to get to 2 million, you have enough understanding that you can't guess All right? To try and get to 5 and thereby drop almost down to zero. Drop to 250,000 naira. I said, it doesn't make sense. The issue was that the same way she had been getting the result, she had probably had on two or three crucial occasions followed her instinct and they had turned out to be correct. So it made sense to a natural person that my instinct, which had not failed me up to this time, can be followed again. Now, this is the point I'm making. I'm talking about when you want to make quick money. That's the way it works. If you think that, you see, now because I made quick money this time around and it blessed me, you want to continue. What will happen is that you will have this confidence that this, my sharp practices always work, but one day they will fail you totally, all right? And you'll be surprised yourself. Now, the reason is that you have gotten used to that which is not good. Are you getting my point? Yeah, really. And that's why you must never get used to that which is not good, because they will eventually fail you. They may taunt you, they may help you, they may entice you along, but one day they will fail. Now, let me just sit down. The point I'm trying to make, I was talking about that stock market then. So for me then, I told people that the issue is not about let's go and make money quickly, but let us go and restore our fortunes. Or are you getting my point? Let's cooperate with God to bring prosperity to our economy. We cannot sit down and say government provide jobs. Governments don't manufacture jobs. You must get the point. Any place where government manufacture jobs, eventually all you will find is inflation. Because as they are manufacturing jobs, they have to manufacture money. And once you manufacture money, the value of the money drops. Inflation will come and spoil everything. How do people get jobs? The only thing governments can do is to give you good policies. But you and I must now get up and go out and go and sow in the land. And that was the thing I was preaching then. You get the point I'm making. Now, of course, a lot of people made a lot of money over the years from it. Some now think that, look, we have found a quick way in Nigeria of making money. You go into the stock market. Listen, those who made plenty of money from it invested in the country. Do you follow my point? And God poured forth money back to them. And these are spiritual matters we must understand. Now, please, let me just continue the point I want to bring up from there. That is, you know, Jesus said something. He said, he that loves his life is the one that will lose it. But he that is willing to lose his life for my sake is the one that will get it back. Listen to me. Those who will really prosper are those who are willing to lose money while taking a risk in developing their societies. Please let me explain something which I started by saying last time. You will discover something about life. God has given everybody an assignment to perform. The Bible says that God essentially gives money to people according to what they can handle. Now, I want you to look at it from another angle. That is, he also gives them according to their responsibility. There's something you notice. A young man leaves school. He's very bright. He's very sharp. Had a very good degree. And he goes into the job market. He gets a job and they are paying him maybe 25,000 naira a month and he's happy. And that fellow who is just about his intelligence at the same grade goes into that same job market and gets a job. And how much is it? They are paying him 150,000 naira a month and he's just starting. Another person enters that same job market and as he's starting also, they are paying him 250,000 naira a month. And of course, we all look and say, wow, this world is not fair. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing like the earth is not fair. In fact, I like the way Oswald Chambers says it. You shouldn't bank on it being fair according to your own estimation. Do you get my point? This is what I teach people on spiritual matters, that you should just learn, listen, to accommodate life as God has presented it to you. That is, to use the things that God has given you to perform the function that he has given. Now, I said something last time that the mistake a lot of people, maybe you see the young man who's paid so much, the mistake he makes, and if you are out there listening to me, please note this, you probably made that same mistake and I want to correct you today. The first year you left school, they are paying you so much money. You think the first thing you're supposed to do is to gather all the money and buy a car. It's how, you imagine how foolish a young man can be. He's single, all right? All he goes does is go from work and come back. But because they are paying so much money, he buys a car that's worth a whole year's earning in the first year of his working. Now, what is he trying to do? He wants to impress everybody that he's doing well. Now, I first said something at the beginning, that it's not as if the guy is brighter than other people. God just allowed the door to open for him that did not open for other people. There's something I want you to understand quickly. Why I'm trying to explain that? Let's quickly read this from the book of Luke, chapter 12. If you read from verse 13, someone said to Jesus Christ, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus answered, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" They now began to teach them about the subject of greed or covetousness. He said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Or a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Then he began to tell them his story. He said, the land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store," notice the word "store," "my crops?" And he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger, larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, that is, you are a serious fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? He says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to quickly explain what Jesus meant by the expression rich toward God. Now remember what I was saying? I painted a scenario of three different people earning different amounts of money. Now this rich man is one who we can say was earning so much money. So what happened? He decided that the solution to the amount of income he has is to enjoy himself extensively. He said, I've harvested so much good. Let me store it. Let me speak to my soul. You have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is the point. The mistake we make, a lot of us, is that we think that because we have so much in earnings, what it means is that we should buy the biggest car available, build the biggest house possible, all right? Have the most lavish wedding possible. Do everything. Just show to everybody that you have plenty of money because you have plenty. But let me suggest a divine order to you. I said something earlier that the reason why we do things is important with God, not just what we are doing. A man who God gives a lot of money, this is what God has told him in simple terms. I have given you much money so that you can be rich toward God. That's the summary of it. Jesus was explaining that the reason why God allowed you to be so abundant in harvest is so that you can be rich toward God. And if you are not doing what he calls rich toward God, then you stand a risk of having your life terminated suddenly. What am I trying to explain? About creating the opportunity for prosperity. That if God gives somebody much, like this man, what was the man supposed to do? I will tell you, God doesn't expect that he will just build bigger bands and then sit down and start enjoying. What he expects is that, number one, he will be rich toward the poor. Do you get my point? And secondly, he will cause the grain to multiply. That is, he will go out again and multiply. You see, because the way God ordained the earth to be is that we continue to multiply and to increase. Because that is the only way we can bless everybody else around. I'm trying to put something in our minds because I've been explaining again and again that what I'm preaching is creating the opportunity for prosperity, not individual prosperity, but some that will affect everybody. Do you get the point I'm making? So the young man is earning so much money. What was he supposed to do? I said the first year, he's supposed to show gratitude to those who blessed him in the years in which he had nothing, in the years in which he was part of the dependent population. What do I mean by that? I mean, he has a father. Now, listen to me. I don't care how rich your father is. No matter how rich the man is, if you give him a gift and he can say, this came from my son, do you get my point? He will use it with pride and show it off to people with pride because it came from his son. There are people who helped you in previous times. You had lecturers in school that motivated you, were so good to you. Because of them, you were able to overcome certain challenges. Now, the first year, you have started working and you have been paid a lot of money. It is ungodly of you to forget them. There were times you were very broke when you were in school. There were friends who would share their pocket money with you. And that right now, they are not earning as much as you are earning. It is ungodly of you to forget them. Now, these are the things you do as a young man, as a young woman, in the first year of being generously paid. Are you getting my point? What we don't understand sometimes is that season is what God is using to judge where will take us to tomorrow. Please, what I'm saying is very, very important too. I said it's a spiritual thing. Creating the opportunities for prosperity. But the second thing I want to emphasize on is that thing we read from Psalm 126. It said, restore our fortunes, O God, as the streams renew the desert. Now, and God said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. Now, if you have more than you personally are supposed to eat. Now, I was discussing this with somebody once. He said, what if what you call food is a bottle of malt, is this and this? You know, as if eating from a plate of gold, that's what you call food. I said, look, you can't fool God. The Bible said, behold, God is not mocked. I'm talking about within limits of being reasonable. You have something that is beyond that, which as a person you can consume. What God is saying is simple. It is time to start investing in the lives of other people. Do you get the point I'm making? I have a friend, he does something that really impresses me. He will go to his church and ask the young men. You know, there are people who just hanging around, they're not doing anything, all right? And occasionally they come and tell you stories of how they are so broke and they can't not even get up now. If you don't give them 20 naira to get up, you know, those kind of, you hear stories like that a lot of times. So what he does is that it's just simple. You are very broke, no problem. Now, the reason why you are broke is because you are not doing anything. Now, go and sit down and tell me what you can do. Do you follow the point? Now, he has more money than them, obviously. And when the young man will finish explaining what he can do, put it down in writing. He will study the proposal the young man has written. If it makes sense and it looks like it will work, then he brings out money and they start that business. And then the young man is now productive. Restore our fortunes, O God, as streams renew the desert. He said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. The mistake a lot of people make is that they think that, what if I lose my money? Jesus said, the one that's willing to lose his money for my sake is the one that will not lose it. There are things you do purely because it is the right thing to do. Do you get the point I'm making? You see, you must understand that your society will not progress unless you are ready to put something into it. That is why I feel very sorry for a lot of people. Maybe they were in government in a place like Nigeria, and they, you know, they embezzled a lot of government money and they carried the thing to Switzerland. Let me tell you something. God will personally judge them. Now, the country doesn't have to try. God will personally judge them. The reason being that you have become a rich fool. You carried the money and everything went to America. God will personally judge you because you have become a rich fool. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Now, because you see, a country like Indonesia then, they had rulers who embezzled a lot of their money. But the country essentially didn't suffer so much because most of the money embezzled from there were returned back into the country as industries and stuff. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Now, I'm not by that justifying financial impropriety. That's not what I'm trying to explain. But I'm just saying that if you have to judge two thieves, do you follow me? You judge a thief. No, you know, a Robin Hood kind of thief. Now, Robin Hood is a bad man. Forget the fact that he's stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. Stealing in any form is bad. Okay? But the Robin Hood will receive more mercy in the day of judgment than the one who steals from the rich, steals from the poor, and gives to nobody at all. Do you understand the point I make? That's what the Bible will say in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. There you see the distinguishing matter between a righteous man and a good man. There's a world of difference between a righteous man and a good man. The righteous man is a man who does everything rightly, okay? But the good man is the one who does good to people. Now, so you can say that a Robin Hood may find a poor man willing to die for him. That's what he was trying to say. Now, he was not a righteous man, but in quote, he was a good man. Now, so I'm not going to bring out the point here. You will find mercy available for the good man more than for the man who is a crook and is not good in any form. The reason is spiritual. Because what you sow into a land, all right, is creating the opportunities for prosperity for people. So I'm explaining that for every one of us that God has given the opportunity to earn more than is average in his society. And it means that God has committed more to your hands, all right, than he has committed into the hands of other people. You know, there's a material I'm working on, a book which will come out in a few weeks' time, titled, So Who Will Pay For This? I explained something that you see, if for everything in life, everybody has a responsibility. Do you get my point? For example, you are sitting at home, all right, and this broadcast is coming to you free of charge. Don't think it is exactly free. Somebody is actually paying. People are paying for the broadcast. It's not free. Do you follow my point? So how does God do it so that the thing will be paid for? It's simple. If everybody earns enough money just to pay his own bills, then nobody is going to put the gospel on air. So God says, okay, some people will earn more, all right, than is enough to foot their own bills. Therefore, out of the excess, they must be rich toward God. And part of the thing they do is sponsor the work of the gospel. In the same manner, God will say, all right, all of us, you know, they want to sell maybe public enterprise. They want to privatize them. Not everybody can buy. Look, let's never deceive ourselves. I've heard people say that, and don't mind, they are just selling to their friends. If you have money, go there and go and buy. Do you understand my point? As long as you're sitting in your homes and they are selling a company for ₦1 billion and you don't even have ₦10,000, don't worry about whose friend it is that has ₦1 billion to buy because you don't have ₦10,000 to buy. Do you get the logic or honesty? But there's something I want you to bear in mind here. In your own little environment, there is ₦100,000 you have that you can invest in a small laundry business that somebody wants to start. There is a young man who's learned a trade. What he needs is money to buy a machine. Now, I'm not saying you must be a philanthropist and just donate the machine to him. You can strike a deal. Okay, this is how we're going to do accounting for this business. Let me buy all the machines. You essentially work for me. We split the money 50-50. The rich are getting richer, the people say. You see, sometimes when you say things, we have what I call the poverty mentality, the oppressed man's mentality. The reason why a man who has money will tend to have more money is not because he's greedy, but because as you create opportunities for other people, do you get my point? It's a law of the spirit. It must be returned back to you also. Are you getting my point? Sometimes you read about, maybe you go and buy the Forbes magazine and you see the world 500 richest people listed in there. Now, I'm bringing out an issue. The people are not necessarily as rich as you think. But why do they value it like that? Because in that valuation is the number of jobs that's been created. In that valuation is the number of products and services being outputted into the environment. Are you getting my point? After reading around a bit, I found out that a lot of these so-called wealthy people, when they want to launch into a new business, which you will claim, all right, is an expansion of their wealth, they go and borrow money from banks. No, that's exactly what they do. All right? Now, this is the point I want you to understand. The reason why you still value their wealth like that is because in borrowing money from the bank, they have borrowed to fund an idea which will be a blessing to you and be a blessing to me. And I'm challenging the rest of us to stop sitting down and start pointing upward to those rich people. Please get what I'm saying. I am saying that you and I are rich in our own way. You and I have something we can contribute to create wealth in somebody's environment. Are you getting my point? There are people that 50,000 naira is all it takes to bring forth a business that will bring them breakthrough. And there are people who are earning 10 times that every 2 months, all right? But when they want to go for lunch, they say, oh, there's a new restaurant in town. Lunch there is 11,000 naira. After all, I can afford it. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat your lunch for 11,000 naira if you really can afford it. But I doubt whether you really can afford it. Do you get my point? Most people who do that, I doubt whether they really can afford it. What do I mean by afford it? Have they done the assignment of God for the extra resources that he gave them, or they are just practicing the principle of the rich fool? Soul, rest, enjoy. You have much good coming to you. Much good coming to you. Come on, enjoy yourself. Have they really gone out to be rich toward God? Please get the point I'm trying to make. This is because God, this is how God does it in life. Some people have ideas, some people have resources. The two of them moving together is what brings forth prosperity into the environment. Please, I'm challenging everybody listening who earns more than he really needs to meet his personal needs to realize that God is telling you, in effect, that is seed that I have given you. Now, seed is good to sow as spiritual seeds, because that's about the only thing most of us Christians know, how to sow spiritual seeds. But I want to emphasize that it is good also, it is necessary to sow material seeds. That is, you see somebody who wants to start a business. 10 of you can contribute. Now, one of the richest banks in Nigeria of today, the man who owns the majority shares in it right now, when they started, they didn't contribute anything. He just had an idea. All right? These were the days when, you know, all you had in Nigeria were all these old fossilized banks then, before they've all modernized now. And then they said, let us start. That's when we began this new generation banking. All right? Maybe 5 people will bring money. He's the 6th person. And they share the units exactly equally amongst the 6. He has brought nothing but his ideas. The man didn't contribute any money. What he did was to bring his ideas. And I'm explaining to us again today that that's how it is. That's how you and I will create jobs. There's a young man around you. He's gone to school. He's gone to a technical college. He's learned some trade. Do you understand? And you've looked at him. You have money. He comes to you every time begging for money. And you feel like a big brother. You dash in 1,000 naira once in a while. Why don't you settle down one day and say, but what does it really take to start that business that you've gone to that college to go and learn? And say, we just need this, this, and this. Okay, why don't I start a company and you run it? And we split it 50-50. Let me tell you something. I said, he that will be willing to lose his life, Jesus said, is the one who will find it. Let me tell you how to be great tomorrow. You know, the problem with a lot of people is that they want to be rich today. Real wealth does not come today. It doesn't come today. It does not come today. I was reading the story of Warren Buffett the other day, who's currently the world's richest man. All right? They call him the world's greatest investor. Listen, he has lived in the same house for the last 30 years. He's currently the richest man in the world as of today. But he has lived in the same house for the last 30 years. You know what it means? If you know, it's just one normal house. If you've been to America, one of those normal houses on the street. No powerful fence around it. Just a normal house. Drives his own car. Now, how old is he? The man is in his 60s or so. Or turning towards 70, if not over 70. He didn't become the world's richest man in one day. It's over time of careful investing. He's lost money here and there. I'm bringing out the principle. You will be a very rich man tomorrow. Please, I hope you have gotten what I've called prosperity, because I don't want, when I'm talking, you think that I'm a prosperity preacher telling you how you become fat and you have a lot of money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wealth, the way God defines it. A man of influence who is blessing people and establishing righteousness in his community. That's what I'm talking about. This is how it will come to pass. Among the little people you help start those companies in which you are holding 50-50% stake here and there, Maybe you are able to start over the next few years, 10 or 20 like that. Half may collapse. Of the balanced half that will survive, half may do fairly well. Listen, if only two of them become big blue chip companies, you're a very rich man. Do you get the point I'm going to make? Somebody will say later that, this man is very lucky. What do you call luck? Luck was that he did what God said we should do the time that God gave us the opportunity. And now you see reward being poured towards him, and you say this guy is a very lucky man. I said luck is a colloquial expression for the word blessed. A man who is blessed is a man who walks in the way of God.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.